Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful that you are our God, Lord. You created us, Lord, that you died for us, Father, and that you offer us eternal life, Lord. Pray, Father, that you use me today, Lord, as your servant. Lord, speak through me, Lord, and may I give words of life, Father, and tell about your glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, the title of my sermon, Do You Know Your Most Important Work? That'd be something good to know, right? What your most important work is. Before I get going, here's a picture of my family. Fortunately, my wife and my two daughters didn't come with me. I thought it might be a little much. But we got engaged about 7 years ago. And when you get engaged, you do this premarital counseling thing, and which is a good thing to do. I think I would recommend doing pre-engagement counseling. It's kind of hard to take back the invitations, you know, if something comes up, right? So I would recommend pre-engagement counseling, but everything's worked out, so it's good. But during this pre-marital counseling, the counselor told me, he said, this is the most important thing for your marriage. Telling me this as a guy outside of Christ being the center of your life and of your marriage. He said, this is the most important thing. So that's something I would want to know, right? If I want my marriage to be successful, I want to know, what is this most important thing? And so he told me the most important thing to a good marriage with your wife is openness. That was his opinion. In order to have intimacy with your wife, for a man, you need to be open and have openness with her. And so I've tried to put that into practice. It's not easy for a guy, or at least for me, but that is what he told me. And so I was thinking, what is the most important thing for us as Christians, as human beings, as man and woman? What is our most important thing, our most important work to do? That would be important for us to know, right? If you are hoping for the soon return of Jesus and looking forward to that day, it's important to know your most important work to prepare you for his coming. And so we can look in the Pen of Inspiration Education, page 225, says that character building, what was that? Character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings. That's a pretty serious statement, don't you think? Now, how many of you this last week have spent time thinking about character building? Oh, good. Yes, we need to be thinking about character building. That is our most important work, more important than our jobs and our family and anything else. We need to be thinking about building our character. And so if this is so important to do, it would be important for us to know what character is. In order to work on building our character, we need to know what character is. Before we get into that, let's look at what it's not. Character building is not your mental ability. It's not how smart you are. In fact, I would say a lot of people who maybe have great mental abilities, maybe you're one of those people that you never had to study for the test and you always got an A. That probably isn't helping build your character. And mental ability is not character. Another thing that's often confused with character that is not character is reputation. Your reputation, how other people perceive you, is not character. You see, we can mask a lot of things. We can put on a good suit and come to church, We can live our outward life in a way that fools those around us and maybe even fools ourselves. But that is not character. Character building, volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 310, it says, if the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be wrong. And the thoughts and feelings combined make up the moral character. Character is what's happening in here and in here. Character is what's going on in your mind. What's going on in your heart? What are you thinking about? How is that making you feel? What are the feelings that you have toward that person or toward that situation? What are the thoughts that you have toward others or toward the situation that you are in? Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From our thoughts and feelings come words and actions. Ezekiel 16:30 says, how sick is your heart that you did all these things? And so the Bible's telling us that our actions and our words are a reflection of our character, our thoughts and our feelings. And our thoughts and feelings combined make up your character. Your words and actions come from what you have put in. And you can mask those things. You can hide them. But it doesn't change who you are inside. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance. You guys remember Samuel going to choose a king. And the first time they chose Saul, right? And he was about this tall and a strong, good-looking man. And all the people are like, yay, this is going to be a good king, right? But after Saul's fall, Samuel was sent to anoint another king, and he saw the sons of Jesse. And the first son, he says, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But God told Samuel, don't look on the outside. I look at the heart. God looks at our thoughts. He looks at our feelings. See if we are His. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? A character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. Character building is so important because it's the only thing that we are taking to heaven. You're not taking your house. You don't need your house there. You have a mansion being prepared for you. We're not taking our cars. You're not taking your money. We'll be walking on streets of gold. We won't need money. You're not taking your facelift. You got a facelift. You're not taking it. The Bible says you're going to get a new body. Right? This corruptible will put on incorruptible, and this mortal will put on immortality. God's going to give us a new body. Amen? Amen. It's good news. I'm fairly young, I guess, in my 30s. I'm already starting to feel aches in my joints, right? Yeah, so it'll be nice. We get that new body. Yes. So all these things we are not taking with us, but we are taking our character. We are taking our thoughts and our feelings. Can you imagine what your thoughts and feelings now would look like in heaven? Around all the holy angels. Around God Himself. Can you guys hear me still? Okay. Oh, there we go. Now you can really hear me. Can you imagine your thoughts and feelings as they are now in the presence of a holy God? This is why this is our most important work to do. We need to work on building our character, having our character like His. But not just any character. Oh no, don't think that we'll take our selfish, our worldly, our proud, our jealous, our fault-finding characters with us to heaven. That would not be heaven indeed. And God will not allow such a thing there. And so we need to work on our character. This is our most important work, is to work on our thought life, to work on our feelings, that they are like Christ. This says the character formed according to the divine likeness. Our character has to be like God's character. What is God's character? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Here's God's thoughts. This is his character, his thoughts and feelings. Says Jehovah, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end." God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace, thoughts of hope. He loves us so much. And he's always thinking about us and putting us first. That is the character of God. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." This is the only Bible verse that mentions the word character. Hebrews 1:3, and it's right there. It says that character in the Greek, it's translated here, express image. So this is talking about Christ was in the brightness of his glory. His glory, the brightness, so that we see it, we see his character, which is the express image of God. Christ's character was God's character. And God's character is his glory. The Old Testament translates character as glory. So when you read about the glory of God in the Bible, you're reading about his character. Southern Watchman, October 25, 1904, says, "It is his righteous character that constitutes the glory of God." God's glory is his character, his perfect thoughts, his perfect feelings, and this character he wants to give to you. You remember in Exodus 33, where Moses comes to God and he says, verse 18, he says, Moses says to God, "Please show me your glory." So Moses is asking God, "Show me your character. Show me who you are." And God answers Moses, and what does he say to him? He says, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you." He's making his goodness, the moral quality of his person, pass before Moses. And so God tells Moses, he says, "Bring up tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these." And so Moses asks, "Lord, show me your character. Show me your glory." And God says, "Bring up two tablets, and I will write down my character. I will give you my character." And it says then in chapter 34, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" God tells his character to Moses, both in written form in the Ten Commandments, and then he also proclaims his character of mercy and grace and justice mixed together. God revealed his character to us. Review and Herald, April 22, 1902, says, "The glory of Christ is revealed in the law, which is a transcript of his character." The law of God is the transcript of God's character, of God's thoughts and feelings towards mankind. his love and selflessness. So it's important for us to have his law in our hearts and his law in our minds. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." We need to break our heart and allow God to rewrite his character in our hearts. We need God's law in our hearts. Unfortunately, God's character was marred. Unfortunately, man, when we were created, we chose not to follow God's character. God's character is a character of selflessness, a character of obedience, even to his own law, to his own self, to who he is. And man said, "I don't want to be obedient. I don't want that character." And so we chose something different. God's character was marred, and it was marred before that by Satan. Satan marred the character of God by spreading lies about his character, by telling the angels and the worlds that God is a tyrant. He's selfish, unfair. It's his way or else. And so now the angels had to decide, what is God like? Is God like what he says he is? They had never seen God's character played out. God had always said he was loving and selfless, but they hadn't really seen it played out. To what extent is God's love? Or is it like what Satan is saying it is? The head angel that they all looked up to, the chief commander of the realms of heaven. Who is right? And so this controversy broke out. Satan painted the character of God in false colors and took a third of the angels with him and tries to take you and I as well. Our merciful Creator became feared and dreaded and hated even after just taking that one fruit. Adam and Eve changed and they started to fear God and dread his coming in the garden. They lost that character. Isaiah 43:7 says, "For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." You see, originally, we were made to reflect the image of God. We were made to represent his character. We were formed for his character, for his glory. People were supposed to come and look at you and say, "That's the character of God. I can draw conclusions about what God is like because I can see it in you." That's what our goal was. That was our purpose, was to perfectly reflect the character of God. I think about my life and how sadly I have not fulfilled that original goal. How sadly, if the inhabitants of the universe looked at me, they wouldn't see the character of God. Because of sin and selfishness and pride. That was our high calling, was to represent his character, and he still calls us to do that today. Mankind was to reflect the character of God. Education, page 15, says, "By disobedience, this was forfeited." Our ability to represent God was forfeited because we disobeyed him. We can't have God's character and have a character of disobedience at the same time. We have to be perfectly in tune with his law, which is his character. It says, "Through sin, the divine likeness was marred and well nigh obliterated." God's character was marred and obliterated. And we saw that going even to the time of Noah, just shortly after the fall of man, God comes and he looks down at man and he sees that every intent of the thoughts were of his heart was only evil continually. And so he's looking at the character of man, and there is no aspect in the character of the antediluvians where even one thought was for God, was like his character. And God was grieved in his heart. I made you for my glory. I made you so that people would look at you and say, this is what God is like. And now you don't even have one thought that's like my character. Imagine if our thoughts, see the cartoons where the bubbles, right? And you can see what they're thinking. Imagine if we all walked around with bubbles on top of our head and people saw what we were thinking. People saw what we were feeling. Have mercy, O Lord. What if people saw into your mind? What would they think about you? Yet God sees into our mind. God knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows our feelings. And yet he still loves us. And he wants to change us so that our thoughts are his thoughts and our feelings are his feelings. Friends, this is our most important work, to work on our character, to build our character in the divine likeness of God. Oh, how far we have fallen. But God sent a redeemer. Amen? Christ was sent to reveal God's character because we failed at revealing his character. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his character, right? We beheld God's character, his thoughts and his feelings in the person of Jesus Christ. If God were to live in this earth, this is how God would think. This is how God would feel in that situation. This is what he would do. This is what he would say. This is God's character. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We beheld God's character, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to reveal the character of God to us. While the Ten Commandments stated the character of God, and that's a good thing, but it's one thing to read about someone's character, and it's another thing to see them live out their character. This is why the Bible says that the new covenant was found on better promises. We're not just reading about God's character in the Ten Commandments, but we're seeing it played out through the life of God himself, through his Son, Jesus. The Bible says what God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God's character was shown us through his Son. And at the end of Jesus' life, he was able to say, I have glorified you on the earth. He said, I have shown your character. I have shown what you are like. Satan has long marred your character, but I came so people really knew the depths and the heights, the width of your love. Christ so perfectly represented the Father that he could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen my actions, my words, my thoughts, my feelings, you have seen the Father's. He would do nothing different if he were here. God wants to say that about us. He wants his glory to be in us so that when they see you, they see the Father. He would have done nothing different in that situation. He would have thought nothing different about that person. He would have felt nothing different. God wants his character to be in us. God again calls us to reveal his character, to reveal his glory. John 20, 21, it says, so Jesus said to them, again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. What did the Father send Jesus to do? To reveal his glory. To reveal his character. And Jesus says, I send you. Go reveal my character to the world, the dying, lost world, the selfish, prideful world. reveal to them my character. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If God's light is shining in darkness, what is that telling you about the condition of your heart? It's dark, right? Our characters are dark, but God says, "I will shine into it. I will shine in my light." The knowledge of the glory of God. He's going to shine His character into us that we might give it and shine it to others and be a reflection of His image, of His character. True Christianity is the engraving of the biblical principles on the heart. This is what God wants to do to us, to stamp us with His character and with His seal. This is the new covenant. "I'll write my law on their hearts and on their minds, and I will be their God." God wants to give you His character, but oh, how we resist it. How we put things into our minds and into our thoughts and feelings that are opposite. Degrading, demoralizing. We have a part to play. Romans 13:11-14 says, "Do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Put on that robe of righteousness, that covering of God's character. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. God is saying, you need to change your thoughts. You need to change your feelings. Change your actions and your words. Put those things aside, the things of this world, and put on the character of Christ. Put on the armor of light. Isaiah 55:7-9 said, "Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." God says, forsake your thoughts. Forsake your character. "And let him return to the Lord." We have gone astray, people. We have been born into sin. We have been born selfish natured. And God says, put that aside. Die to self and rise up anew in me. He says, "And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him." God will have mercy on us and accept us back into his family. He will adopt us again as his children, and we will be like him. For he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you've thought, doesn't matter how you felt. Your actions or your words, God will abundantly pardon you if you come to Him and ask for forgiveness. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." God says, my character is not your character. Praise God. "Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts." God's character is so far from ours, we can't even imagine the distance. God is totally emptying of self for others. Yet we are constantly striving for self. God says, put away your unrighteous thoughts. Put away your unrighteous character. And have my character, which is worlds apart. God is other-centered, yet we are so self-centered. We need to change our character. Make this our diligent study. How can we be like him? What is his character like? Seems impossible. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to evil? We can't on our own. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? And he came and he said, how can I enter into heaven? How can I have eternal life? And Jesus says, oh, you got to honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't steal. Goes through the last six commandments. And the man says, I've done all these. What else do I lack? And then Jesus goes to his thought life and his feelings, which were about his money, and about how he related and saw himself in relation to others. And he says, go and sell all you have and give to the poor and then come and follow me. God wanted his character. His character needed to be like the character of God. And then he could have eternal life. And they said, oh, this is impossible. Remember the disciples? They said, this is impossible for a man to be saved. And Jesus says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Manuscript 12:18-95. Shall we consider that we are capable of fashioning our lives and characters to enter to the portals of glory? We cannot do it. We cannot shape our characters in and of ourselves to be like Christ. We are dependent every moment upon the Spirit of God operating upon us and upon our children. God will work in your life if you allow him to. He will change your desires. He will change your thoughts. All those bad things, those movies you watched or the things you listened to that you put into your mind that you can't get out, you're like, Lord, please take them out of my mind. He says, I will replace those thoughts. I will replace those feelings. So instead of jealousy, you're thinking about others. Instead of self, you're giving of yourself. God says that I will do that for you if you come to me. God wants to make a covenant with you. He wants to put his law on your heart and in your mind. He wants to put his law in your thoughts and in your feelings. He wants to be your God. And their sins and iniquities, he promises to remember no more. God offers to make an agreement. He says, come to me, confess your sins, and I will give you my character that you may be able to stand, be counted worthy. We should study more earnestly the character of our Savior. We should imitate the lovely pattern that God has given us. We should dwell upon the matchless charms of Jesus until there will be nothing satisfying in this perishing world. Oh, how we need to study this more so that nothing in this world attracts us. We should desire to reflect his image in kindness, in courtesy, in gentleness, and love. And then when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Oh, friends, we need to change our desires to be like him. Have kindness and courtesy, gentleness and love, the love of our Savior. Study Christ's character that we might be like him, because this has the greatest impact on our eternal destiny. We need to have the character of God. Education 225 again, character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings. And never before was this diligent study so important as now. Why is it so important now, does she say? Why is this diligent study so important now? If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Going to Revelation. Revelation 14, verse 6. Revelation 14, verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, the springs of water. The Bible says that here, this loud cry, the three angels' message, we are to give glory to God. We are to give a representation of his character in the earth. We are to have his thoughts and feelings. And we're supposed to do that now because his judgment has come. The judgment has started. This is why the diligent study is so important now, because we're living in the time of judgment. Judging your character. Is your character like his character? Will your character match up in the judgment? And to fear God and give glory to him. We need to live out his character in us. The word character comes from the Greek word character. Don't know how to say that, but it looks the same to me. So this word character refers to the tool one might use to engrave or imprint something. The character tool, it could be maybe a signet ring or a metal stamp like the one you see there. It's often used to mark someone's possessions or to seal a letter, so that if the mark or the seal matched the character, they knew whose it was. If I send you a letter and I put my seal on it, say, ah, that's Jonathan's seal. That came from Jonathan. And so it shows whose that item belongs to. Later, the word character also became known as also the seal itself was also called the character. Because if you look at this, it's the same as if you look at that. It's the same exact image. We are sealed only if we have his character. A review in Herald, May 21, 1895 says, "The seal of the living God will be placed only upon those who bear a likeness to Christ in character." Oh, friends, the diligent study of character is so important now because we are living in the time of judgment, the time of earth's history, where God is opening the books and saying, do they have my character? Have they allowed me to work in their life to change them to be like me? Friends, we need God's likeness. We need his character. And where does the Bible say that the seal of God is placed? On your forehead, right? Then your thoughts. Because your thoughts is your character. Your thoughts and your feelings combine. And so God is saying that the seal of God is really your character being the character of Christ in your mind. You are living out his glory, his purpose for you again. Your thoughts are his thoughts, and your feelings are his feelings. You've allowed God to live in you. This last spring, we planted a garden for the first time, and we also, next to our house, we have a flower bed there, and in the flower bed, we didn't plant anything in the flower bed, but it was amazing. Something grew in our flower bed, and we didn't even plant it. Do you know what grew? Weeds, yes. It was amazing. We didn't even have to plant them, and all these plants came up. They weren't very pretty, but we have plants in our garden, right? What about the garden of your mind? If you're not planting anything in your mind, what's going to grow there? The weeds will grow and are growing. We have to weed our garden. Friends, we got to weed the garden of our hearts. Got to weed the garden of our thoughts. So we weeded our garden, and we planted some flowers, and the bunnies came and ate them all. It's a true story. It was kind of sad. Spent a lot of money on those flowers. But I didn't protect the garden. We have to not only weed the garden, but we have to plant things in the garden. Otherwise, the weeds will come back. We got to plant the character of Christ in our mind, and then we have to fortify it so that weeds don't come and grow back, so that the enemy doesn't come in and eat up those good character traits that we placed there. But our garden of our heart, we have to prepare the garden of our heart, and we have to prepare it sooner than we think. You see, God promises to send the rain, right? And the sunshine. And he sends the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. And the former rain was to germinate the seed. So you plant the seed, the former rain comes, and the seed comes up. The plant comes up. But then the latter rain comes to bring the plant, to bring the fruit on the plant. Now, if you don't plant any seeds and the rain comes, what's going to grow? Weeds, right? And so we have to be planting the seeds now in order to reap the harvest when the latter rain comes. We need to be working on our character right now, planting the seeds of Christ's character now in our hearts, so that when the latter rain falls at the close of the season and ripens the grain, that there will be something there for it to ripen. As the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry out the work of God. He's pouring it out now on you and I so that we plant those seeds and they start to grow, so that when the latter outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes, that there's something there for it to grow. Otherwise, the rain will fall and it will grow weeds in our heart and will oppose the Spirit and its character. And so we have to start now. We can't be sitting back waiting, oh, I'll change my character when I see the times shaping up. When I see God pouring out Spirit on the earth, then I'll kick into high gear. We have to start now. Start changing your character now. Early writings, page 71 says, I saw that none could share the refreshing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, over pride, over selfishness, over love of the world, over every wrong word and action. What's that talking about? Our character, right? In order to receive the refreshing of the latter rain, we have to be working on our character and obtaining victory through Christ. We should therefore be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Let all remember that God is holy and that none but holy beings can ever dwell in His presence. Oh, friends, we need to pull up the weeds. We need to look into our thoughts, to our feelings. Take an inventory. What's in there? What are you growing in the garden of your heart? What are you allowing to take root? I saw that many were neglecting the preparation so needful. They were looking to the time of refreshing and the latter rain to fit them to stand in the day of the Lord and to live in His sight. She says many. She's talking about the church people. These are people who are looking forward to the Holy Spirit poured out. People who know it's coming and they're saying, oh, I can't wait. Pours out, I'm going to shape up and be ready. She's saying it's too late. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. If the rain is poured out, but there's no seeds for it to spring up. There's no seeds been planted. The character of their hearts for it to grow and mature into the character of Christ. So they had neglected the needful preparation. I pray that that's not you and I. neglected the needful preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. God will send his latter rain to fit us, to mature our character, to live in his sight. But if the seeds aren't planted, there won't be anything to grow. Friends, this is so important. We need to make Christ's character our diligent study now. We need to be living for him. Jesus tells us, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Are you hungry this morning? Are you thirsty for the character of God? Do you want that in your heart? I pray that you do. Father God, Lord, what a solemn thing. Your character, Father, how different it is than ours. How worlds apart, Lord, are you than us? And praise the Lord it is, Father, for we are selfish and worldly, thinking about ourselves and not about others. But Father, you came and humbled yourself, came as a servant. The King of the universe came as a babe in a manger, Father. You lived humbly, always giving of yourself for us. Lord, we want that character. We want to be like you, Father. We want to shine to the world to show them who you are and what you are like. Help us, Father, to desire that. Help us to change. Lord, help us to put off the old man, to live anew in you, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.